Untitled Valdemar Bandom Thing by Northern, read by Sylvain. He'd heard the men talking about him, making fun of him because he hadn't had a woman yet. He'd heard them laugh before he was even up the first flight of stairs. He'd stiffened his back and kept walking. He would be in the city soon, and even if his aunt was a complete harridan, it would be better than right now. Certainly better than at home, with a simpering mother who didn't care anyway, and his unfair father who had sent him here. Lionel sat on the bed and tugged his boots off, for lack of anything else to do. He was hungry, but he wouldn't humiliate himself by going back downstairs to his father's men and eat with them. He would rather die of hunger. He took his jacket and gloves off and put them on the chair next to the small desk by the window. The window itself had its curtains drawn against the harsh weather outside, but there was a lit candle on the desk and a fire burning away in the fireplace, so there was plenty of light to see by. There was a knock on the door, and Vanya startled out of his thoughts. It was probably the arms guard again, here to check that he hadn't run away. Vanya felt his vague curiosity about the state of the room ebb away, to be replaced by the dark cloud of melancholy that had been hanging over him for the last several weeks. He padded up to the door and opened it. "My lord," said the man on the threshold. He was holding a tray. Vanya had assumed a place like this would only serve things like barley stew and bad beer, but he could see the dark juice of a meat stew and bright orange carrot slices under a half-covered plate. There was butter in a small jar, and a round shape that had to be bread, wrapped in a piece of cloth. It all smelled delicious. "Milord," said the man again, and Vanyal jerked his hungry gaze away from the food to meet his eyes. "They told me downstairs that you might want your supper." He had a soft, melodious voice, and he was almost smiling. But his eyes were warm and kind, and not mocking. Lionel considered refusing the food, but it looked simply too good to pass by. Besides, none of his father's men were here to see him. "You can put it on the desk," he said, stepping back to let the manservant inside. He was left standing by the door, thinking of whether to close it or not, but the servant was taking his time to put the food out, so Lionel closed it after deciding it would look stupid to keep standing in the doorway. The flames in the fireplace flickered with a loud noise, and Lionel turned and walked back into the room. The servant finished setting things out, producing a cloth-wrapped flagon and setting it next to the stoneware cup at the edge of the desk. Judging by the smell, Vanyal thought it was probably hot cider. "Would you like me to turn your bed down, milord?" the man asked, and Vanyal startled, looking up from the tempting dinner spread. He began, unsure of what was proper. He wasn't entirely certain what he should do. "That will be fine," he decided, sitting down at the desk. He could eat, and the servant would fold his things for him, maybe stoke the fire a bit, like they did for his father and mother at home. The man smiled. It made him look younger, maybe just a few years older than Vanyal himself. "I'm John," he said. "Tuck into your supper now, and I'll be here when you're done." Vanyal ate, and the servant, John, busied himself with putting away Vanyal's boots and jacket, and, indeed, putting some more wood on the fire. The food was good, the stew heavily flavored by some kind of tart berries he hadn't tasted before, and Vanyal found himself finishing all of it, scraping it up with buttered, warm chunks of bread. John finished what he was doing and stood against the wall by the desk, leaning against it, whistling under his breath. It didn't look very respectable, but Vanyal didn't mind. He poured himself another glass of cider and sat back, finished with the food. John smiled again at him. "How would you like me, milord?" he asked, taking a step towards Vanyal. He unbuttoned his vest. The realization that he had completely misjudged the situation made Vanyal freeze in his chair for a moment, a moment during which John came forward, almost close enough to touch him. Vanyal jerked his arm up, slopping some of the cider on the desk, to stop John from coming closer. John looked puzzled, but stopped in his tracks. "Gods, did they—" Vanyal stopped speaking. His thoughts were racing. The armorsmen had set up a man to lay him, and John had already stayed here long enough that they were going to assume that they'd been right in doing so. They were probably down there right now, laughing and sniggering about the perverted freak upstairs. Vanyal set the mug down, carefully, his hand only trembling a little. "Milord?" John asked softly. "If there's something in particular—" "No, you don't understand." Vanyal breathed out in an agitated sigh. He looked away, regretting fiercely that he had shut the door, that he had let John stay to turn down his bed. That was a phrasing he wouldn't forget after this. It suddenly occurred to him that the men would go back to his father after leaving him in Haven, that his father might put him in some cloistered retreat upon their report, that things could get worse. He buried his face in his hand and leaned over the desk. "Surely it's nothing as bad as that," John said, and made Vanyl flinch by putting his warm open palm on Vanyl's shoulder. Vanyl groaned. "They all think that I'm less than a man already. Now they'll tell my father that it's worse than that." "But, my lord," John sounded concerned, and Vanyl felt tears stinging beneath his eyelids. "They don't know I'm here." Vanyl shifted back in the chair, into John's hand and the warmth of his body, where he was standing close. He turned his face to look up at him. "What? Father's armorsman didn't send you?" John kept his hand on Vanyl's shoulder. "No. They sent a girl named Milena, for your father's coin. They were talking about how it would make you a man. But I heard the way they were laughing about it, and I didn't think it very fair. They meant to shame you. I came instead." Then he looked hesitant. "If you would like, my lord, Milena can tell them she betted you. She doesn't mind." Vanyl turned his body toward John, pushing the chair back with his weight. "I don't understand, but you asked..." "I can call for the girl if you'd rather," John said, dropping his hand from Vanyl's shoulder. "They paid quite handsomely." Vanyl felt his face grow hot. He stood up. "No," he said. "No, I didn't mean..." He took a breath, trying to calm himself, and looked back at John. "I don't want the girl. I don't want any girls. But I misunderstood. It's not necessary for you to..." He waved his hand, not wanting to say it. "Oh, but my lord, it would be no hardship." John was smiling again, and stepped a bit closer. Vanyl backed up a step. "I don't..." he began, holding up a hand, but caught himself. He had been about to tell a lie, but he didn't need to lie to this man. "I don't require anything of you." That sounded better, more composed, and surely John would understand. John tilted his head to one side, looking at him for a moment. John's eyes looked warm and piercing all at the same time. "How about compromise, my lord? I wouldn't want to take all those coins, having done nothing to earn them." "You brought me food and straightened my clothes," Vanyl said. He felt a bit breathless suddenly, and he tried to hide it, the way he knew he couldn't hide the color in his face, although maybe John would think it to be the heat of the stoked fire. "One kiss." John held out his hand. His dark eyes shone with some feeling Vanyl had a hard time deciphering. Vanyl swallowed. Surely it would be sordid to have his first kiss with a tavern boy, and one who was getting paid for it, too. But John didn't look as Vanyl had imagined people like him would look. He didn't dress in sheer silks, for one thing, and he wore no paint on his face. He hadn't said anything crude. He did have a slight lisp, but so did one of the knights in training back home, and no one was trying to bet him for a coin. Vanyl reached out and took John's hand. It was soft and warm, and John was still smiling as he pulled Vanyl closer. "You are beautiful, my lord," John said, stroking his thumb over Vanyl's cheekbone. Vanyl found it very hard to look John in the eyes, so close. "You don't have to say that," he whispered. "I'm not saying anything that isn't true," John said. Vanyl could feel John's breath against his face, and he closed his eyes, feeling a little afraid that John would do nothing but laugh at him, but still excited and hopeful. The first feather-light touch of John's lips against his made Vanyl gasp and startle back. John put his hand around the back of Vanyl's neck, though, and stopped him from going anywhere. "Just relax," John murmured. "Relax and enjoy it." Then he kissed Vanyl again, with a firmer touch this time. It felt both alien and intimate, and not like anything Vanyl had imagined when he had thought about kissing. The slide of John's lips against his tickled, but in a way that made him want more, and when John swept his tongue against Vanyl's upper lip, he couldn't help but make a sound from the unexpected zing that reverberated all through him. He suddenly noticed he was gripping John's arms hard and let go, embarrassed. "Don't worry," John told him. "Here." He took Vanyl's arms and pulled them around himself, placing one of Vanyl's arms around his waist and the other around his neck. "I don't mind it if you hold on to me," he said. Then he kissed Vanyl again. "There, my lord," John said when he finally stepped back, and his smile was full of laughter. But it was not laughter at Vinyl's expense, and it made Vinyl feel warmer and in better spirits than he had for a long time. That was not so bad now, was it? Vinyl felt his face rearranging itself into a barely remembered genuine smile, and John's eyes widened. "That is a sweet smile you have there." He shook his head slightly. "You will make a man very happy some day." Vinyl kept smiling. "But not you," he said, not even making it a question. "Nah, you're bound for bigger and better things, I can tell." Then he grinned. "Not that I'm plenty big and good myself, you know." Vinyl felt oddly happy, standing here further from home than he had ever been, bantering with a handsome man whom he had just kissed, or been kissed by. It was all quite strange, but his day seemed to be ending much brighter than it had dawned. "Thank you, John," he said, suddenly determined that this man should know how much better he had made him feel about himself. "I won't forget you." John pursed his mouth as if he did not quite believe him. "You'll be on to Haven in the morning," he said, "but maybe I'll see you again somewhere. I've been called John Walker. I don't care to stay in one place for too long." "Maybe you will," Vinyl replied. The end.